In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Interstellar,
Man with the Micro Penis,
Obama Net Neutrality,
and Penis Princesses.
All these coming up. Stay tuned. Bear Podcast, 543.
Hey, all you bears.
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you again, so I'm going to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do a podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that was funny, cute, white, last
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 543, and it's a Tuesday, November 11th, 2014.
It is Veterans Day.
It's Veterans Day. That's right.
I'd like to, today we honor our veterans in the U.S., the men and women who fought for our freedom. Some gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for our country. I personally like to thank my granddaddy Bolin, Papa Priest, for their service in World War II, my Uncle Earl for fighting in Vietnam, my Uncle Junior for peacetime service during the Cold War, Robbie for being in the Navy. Yeah, he was in the Navy for a while. To Robbie's dad, Edward O'Donnell, for the stories of what he's told about what it was like to be in World War II and being a merchant marine during the Vietnam War and other conflicts when he was hauling supplies over for the U.S. government to the different areas that were in battle at the time. So, so again, thank you all for your service.
Thank you very much for your service. Yeah, to all the veterans.
Yep.
That's right. Okay, so it's a it's November and Thanksgiving is coming up. It's going to be very busy.
Yeah. What happened on the 7th of November?
What happened last Saturday? What was it? No, 7th. Friday?
Remember the 7th.
No, it's the 5th of November.
Damn, I can't ever get it right. I can never remember.
That's why I couldn't remember the 5th of November. Right.
5th, 7th, it's in the same week, okay? It's in the same week.
All right.
I tried.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, Ray and I just came from Quiznos. Not that they're paying us to say this.
I know, but we like to eat at Quiznos. Mm-hmm. But if they would like to sponsor us, call us.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you get? You got black anus, right?
I got black anus and broccoli and cheese ooze.
Oh. You know what? That's so cheesy. I think it's more cheese than broccoli.
Yeah, that's the best part
about it. Oh, God. And I just had one of those... honey barbecue? No, not honey, barbecue. Honey mustard. Yeah. Honey mustard chicken, yeah. Yeah.
So, I've been cheesed out for the last couple of weeks. Because ever since the Halloween party, I made this big vat of cheese dip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only used like half of it at the party, got eaten. So we kept it. And then Robbie had made this pork. My mind just went blank. Pork.
Pulled pork?
Like a pulled pork thing.
Oh, okay. So like a pork shoulder. It's really big.
Oh, yeah. He took pork carnitas or something like that.
Oh, carnitas. Okay. Oh, so good.
So it was very good.
That's his specialty, isn't it?
Yeah.
He always likes doing it. I love it when he does that.
Well, he's Puerto Rican.
I know, yeah.
So anyway, he took the cheese dip that was left over and the pork carnitas that was left over and made like a casserole with it. And it was awesome. Pretty awesome. So it was very good. I've been having a lot of cheese this past since Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to let the cheese go.
You're going to cut the cheese.
Cut the cheese because I'm going to start taking a whole lot more fiber. But
yeah.
Anyway,
we have last weekend. I guess you watched Interstellar. Huh?
Of course, I watched Interstellar in IMAX. Did you watch it in IMAX?
Oh, I didn't. But
oh my God, in IMAX, it's incredible.
It's incredible in IMAX.
When those organ starts blowing, it's like ding ding ding, blows you out of your seat. It was awesome.
Okay, Interstellar. I could say right now.
Spoiler alert.
A little bit of spoiler alert. Not too much. It is a sci-fi made for geeks.
Yes.
But not a sci-fi geek or a computer geek, but more of a theory, a relativity geek, like a physics that kind of nerd.
It's kind of like if we traveled out of space, what's really going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much what
we can't get on the warp drive, so you know.
Yeah, there are no warp drives, but there's a wormhole that they talk about.
Yes.
But then
and there's a black hole.
There's a black hole.
And time dilates.
And event horizons. Yeah, and having to experience how to go to pass through the event horizon, stuff like that. So, it's just amazing that the talk, it's all geek talk.
Yeah.
It's all geek talk.
But it's based on what we know now.
Yeah. They did say about 70% of what they said there is pretty much true, and most of it are, the 30% are just really made up. Especially the towards the end, he survived, and then he was in this library and everything, and he was doing something with the gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that part, that's not very possible. Yeah. But then all the other stuff, like,
we don't know it's not possible.
I know. That's pretty much the, I guess they theorized.
Right. Once we advance, and we eventually, at one point, the whole theory of this movie is we advance to the point where we're not corporal anymore, and we were the being saving ourselves in the past.
Yeah. So what's interesting there also is the concept of, the theory of relativity, wherein if you travel faster than light, or if you're in another dimension or another part of space, that for you 1 hour is actually 7 years here on Earth. So things like that every minute counts, that you stay in this world would be.
Yeah. And then, well, on one planet, because it's so close to the black hole, the time was changing.
Yeah.
So they went down and were there and there for about a little over an hour, and they come back, and 20 years have passed.
Yeah, 20 years has passed, and they would receive these videos that their children are growing up really fast, stuff like that. So it's just interesting that it's not much about the. It is about the theories and the math, the date math on that one. But how do you react to people? How do you treat people? How do you react to your situation that people around you are growing older so much faster than you?
Yeah.
So,
well, a lot of the sci-fi books that I read address that they usually, people that do space travel don't have families. Or they were like an only child, and it's one of those things that there's no ties, because you could go out on a journey, on a voyage, and come back, and everybody is dead because 100 years have passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And then there was also those things that, 100 years has passed, and you're on a piece of technology that's 100 years old, and they got this new stuff, so you come back and have to learn all this new technology because you've been gone for 100 years.
Yeah. Also, what's funny, because there was this plan A, plan B.
Yeah.
The plan B was kind of, if all things fail, let's keep the human race alive.
Yes.
So how do you do it? You populate, you repopulate. Using, you have your, I guess they're embryos, right?
Well, they had frozen embryos, fertilized embryos that were frozen. I think it was like 10 or 20,000 of them they had frozen.
Yeah. So, and then you just need, a human. To take care of it.
I don't know because they only sent one woman out there.
I know. Is she going
to
be?
So I assume that they had a way to artificially recreate the womb.
Yeah.
Almost like cloning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that they had a way, and they had the technology, and then they could like do so many at a time and all this kind of stuff.
So what do you think when Anne Hathaway, because Anne Hathaway was one of the characters. Mm-hmm. I found it funny because when she was all alone there, staring at the barren land, and she set up already the colony, smallest colony that she was doing. I was thinking she's gonna start singing, "I dreamed the dream of this gone by." It looked like that, but she was in a space suit and just staring in the air.
The sad thing is, it's one of those movies you got to see a couple times to catch everything. Because afterwards, me and Robbie got arguing about some different aspects of the movie. He said that the wormhole appeared back in the 60s, and I was like, no, the time frame of this movie is set in the near future, so it's in like the next 100 years after us.
Yes, because it's a little bit of high tech already.
Yeah, because there's some stuff like solar powers that can power a whole machine and batteries and stuff like that that's not here now.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, this happened back in this started off in the 60s. I was like, no.
No.
Because of Michael Caine's character, because his age, and he said they found the wormhole 48 years ago. Well, Robbie's like, oh, that was back in the 60s. I'm like, Robbie, it's not current time, it's the future.
I wonder if you guys are still interested in listening to this.
So, we can go on. It's one of those movies you need to see a couple times. But it's
if you're a math geek or a relativity geek or a physics geek,
you might just like good sci-fi.
Good sci-fi, yeah. It's a lot of talking, a lot of theorizing. So it will make you think. I enjoyed it for that geek factor. Yeah. But if you're, you know, if you like chick flicks and everything, you might not like this. Okay. Yeah. So, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of a guy's movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our topics for today. Okay, God, it's 10 minutes of just talking about Interstellar.
Okay. So, Maynard opens up about his life with a micropenis.
Excuse me? No, it's not me. It's somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. It is estimated that 0.6% of the male population have penises that are smaller than 2 3/4 inches when fully erect, a micropenis.
That is sad.
The smallest minority of men with this condition are endowed with what's called an inconspicuous penis. Mm-hmm. I thought most penises were inconspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
A penis that's not separable from the scrotum, many of which are actually webbed because of stigma and culture fueled by machismo, and the subject of micropenis is rarely talked about unless it's a punchline. And the men who have them stay in the shadows.
You know what you call that? You know, those penis, it's like, you know, like an acorn in a bush.
Yeah.
The situation, you know, it's just the head.
I dated a guy one time that had like a micro penis. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he was the bottom. I had the parts I needed.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was a long time ago. And one of his issues was like when we first started date, we went on a date and then we went on another date and he was like, okay, before we have sex, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, what? He said, I have a very small penis. And I'm like, okay. So?
You're a bottom, right?
Yeah, right.
I guess he said, I have to be.
No, he didn't. But when he got naked, it was really small.
It's smaller than what you thought.
What I thought, yeah. Small.
Like it was all head?
It's like that.
Oh, you know what? I did date a guy where it's like that. It's like pencil thick. I did, well, not small, but, you know, small enough.
Yeah.
But not micro. But it's like a finger almost.
Yeah.
So,
and it didn't bother me. I still had fun with it. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So anyway, so what are we going to do here? It's actually like...
This is the article. And this,
it's an article.
This is from a 51-year-old English teacher based in the UK. And he opened up about his life with a micropenis in an illuminating interview with the New York Magazine. So I'm going to ask Maynard some questions and he's going to respond with his micropenis response.
Okay. This is a very long article, but okay. we'll try to.
Okay.
Okay.
How big is your penis?
How big is your penis? Wait, is that the first one?
First question.
It's the first. It says here. Oh no, it's okay. It says here it varies a lot, but I will give you my latest findings from tape measure department. The maximum length is 2 inches soft and 3 inches hard. The circumference is 3.3 inches soft and 4.0 inches hard. Oh God, that's really small.
Well, I mean, it's a micropenis.
It's a micropenis.
Okay. When did your penis stop growing?
Okay. when I was 14, God, I feel bad that I'm the one answering this. Okay, when I was 14, quite honestly, my entire quite honestly, my entire life has been shaped and damaged by my penis size. I'm still not really over it, even though I'm way into middle age. I've had relationships, but they've never been terribly good, particularly not from my partner's point of view. I always feel like I can't do what I should be able to do as well as most people. That's what I worry about. And doctors have never been any help. So what kind of positions can you do if you have a micropenis?
I don't know. Listeners, what kind of positions can you do if you have a micropenis?
What positions do you do?
I just lay there.
I'm thinking, you know, how can they do it if it's really small?
Lazy top.
I guess the girl, the partner would be on top, or I don't know, doggy style would be easier.
I guess doggy style.
Doggy style might be easier. Yeah. But then you have to really straddle or something like that.
I mean, I'm sure there are ways around it. I mean, I'm sure not every guy's got like the biggest dick ever. And depending on size and stuff, you have to do different positions to make it work. So,
mm-hmm.
So. Did you feel more comfortable showing your penis to other men?
Okay. Men made me feel stranger than women did. Really? Oh, I guess. They objectified me as the little dick guy, and were more like, don't isolate that, guys, okay? they objectified me as a little dick guy, and were more likely to humiliate, and were more likely to humiliate me. But humiliation can be quite enjoyable in itself if you get twisted enough. That's when I thought maybe I should reveal and flaunt my small penis. Well, they can't do helicopters.
Not hard, they can't.
Hard, they
can't.
If it's soft, they can, if it's soft, they can.
They can do a propeller.
Can propeller, okay. Like a very small fan.
Okay. So this guy apparently had sex with men.
Really?
Yes. So what role did you take when you had sex with men?
And wait a second, this guy is bisexual? Okay, I was usually the bottom, that's what he said. Although I did have a night with a guy who just wanted to suck me. I was a bit shocked at the time and did not enjoy it as much as I should have. I'm still unsure about all this. Like I said, I was simultaneously attracted to the gay scene and yet averse to the idea of having sex with a man. Maybe I was just too cowardly. If I had let go and made myself become a real gay.
A real gay?
Yeah, a real gay. That might have been my salvation. So if you went full gay, then he would have been a big bottom, and then, yeah, he would have enjoyed it more, I guess.
I don't know. See.
Okay.
Can you have penetrative sex?
Okay, it says, it's really very difficult. That's what he said. All the other things are fine. Oral, manual. How do you do manual? With two fingers? Two fingers, I guess. And I have never got into all additional things. The toys, the strap. See, he has to use a strap-on now. The strap-ons and the vibrators. I don't like it. I love bodies. Touch and all those things are great. But full sex is something I just can't do properly. My penis is just not big enough. Oh, he's very honest about it. When I'm having sex, I'm always aware that she's probably pretending to enjoy things. She's got to be faking it. To enjoy things.
A lot of women do that.
A lot of women do that?
I think they do.
To enjoy things more than she really is. And the last woman I was with admitted that was true. And that was just stopped me dead. Oh my God, I'm sorry for this guy. I knew it was true. And of course, it's not her fault. It's my fault. It's not your fault either. You know, nature gave
it
to you.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that, you know, it's nothing you can do about it. I mean, nature, genetics played a part into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of guys would like to have bigger penises. I know some guys that have bigger penises wish they had smaller penises.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Really? Guys with big dicks would like to have smaller penises?
I don't know. I'm just making this shit up. I'm hoping they do.
Oh, my God. Really? I wish I had a
look at some of the porn stars and their dicks hanging down to here. What the hell are you going to do with a third leg?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, honestly, once you get past 8 inches or 9 inches.
What do you do?
What do you do?
I mean, are you talking about flaccid?
Hammer nails in with it or something?
Are you talking about flaccid?
Well, no, I'm talking about hard. I mean,
it's hard.
You've seen the porn stars that have like these big old 13-inch dicks and stuff. And I know some guys just like, if it's over 6 inches, it ain't coming nowhere near my ass.
If it doesn't fit his mouth, it doesn't go inside his
mouth. No, if it's over 6 inches, it ain't going in anywhere.
Oh, my God. It's really pretty sorry for this guy. So, what's the next one?
Is there any sexual activity for which you think having a small penis works in your favor?
Yes, oral sex. That's what he said.
Okay.
Giving it rather than receiving. Oh, well, how about receiving? I'm often worried that women feel they have to return the favor. But I would need to be very thoroughly persuaded that woman would really want to put my horrible little penis in her mouth and then taste the result. I would like to think I might be good at other things, maybe as a gentle miniature introduction to anal sex, but I have never had the nerve to ask if it might be wanted.
Hmm.
Well, it's hard with vaginal sex. Why would he do anal sex then?
Well, sometimes, depending on where the placement is, you might be able to get in there more further than you could.
That's right. If the person is, you know, lying down on the belly, and yeah, if you can do from the top that way, I think you can do it. Okay.
So do you feel you need a disclaimer before you get naked, or do you do it when you're in the moment?
Where is that? Let me see.
Sundown.
Is it way, way down? Oh, okay. I've fallen in love so many times in the last decade. That's what he said. And oh, God, this is what really kills me. There are some people who must wonder why the fuck I acted so weird with them. Yeah, I probably would be too.
Well, it's like one of those things. It's like you meet somebody, you're really attracted to them, and then they're like, oh.
Oh.
You have a small penis.
Because we got to.
I know some gays are like, bye-bye.
I know. So, yeah, actually, I have a story about this. Being somebody...
Rejected.
Not really rejected, but actually, we had him in the show. Remember, we had a transgendered...
Mm-hmm.
His name is Michael. We had him in the show back in 2009. He's a big, bubble guy. He's trucker-looking, balding, full beard, hair and everything. But then, actually, he's transgendered. He's a vagina. So he hooked up with a guy before. He was telling me a story. I think it was. I'm telling this because it was talked about on the show back then. That the guy who he was kind of dating, or not dating, but you know, the hookup, and then you know, pulled up his pants and saw that. Oh, what the fuck? yeah, I was about to tell, but still they did it. I don't know what they did, but yeah. So I guess that's the part there. It's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Whether you have a micro penis.
Well, I guess it's kind of like talking about anything. I mean, I guess it's like going in and going out on a date with someone, and you like they're like wanting to have sex, and like you have to go back and say, "Oh, I have an STD, or I'm HIV positive, or mm-hmm. you know, I got a big clitoris, or my butt's too tight, or my butt's too loose," and yada mm-hmm. yada yada. I mean, it's one of those things. It's just like,
yeah, it's one of those things
dealing with sex.
Yeah,
then it comes down to do you like the person more than you know all the physical stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
okay. So do you use condoms?
Okay, here's his answer. That's a terrible story. When I was desperate to get into bed, to get into women, I was trying to find condoms that worked, but I still haven't found one. You can get ones that are really small, but there are so many sad stories of that. Oh no, there are small ones these days, but back then you couldn't. It was one size fits all, and it didn't. It didn't fit at all by any means. And of course, the few girls that I've known had practiced with their boyfriend the best way of putting on condoms, but when they met me and had to deal with me, it was just totally different. It's like the banana. It's not like a banana at all. It's like a battery. Oh my God, it's like a battery. Mm-hmm. All I can ever do is say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, and apparently the guy that interviewed this has issues with having a small penis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he... All through the article, he keeps apologizing for having a small penis.
That's really sad that you have to apologize for being yourself.
Yeah, for being something that God made you. So
you know who likes small penises?
Dave.
Yep. Okay. Dave is watching right now.
Yeah, Dave's watching right now. So Dave, God's for you. But okay. But no, I mean, is there any listeners out there that have issues? And you don't have to tell us your name. You can just shoot us an email, and we won't say your name on the show.
If you have
a voicemail.
If you have a micro penis, please let us know and tell us about your experience.
Your experience, so that, you know, because it shouldn't be that big a deal. I mean.
It's not. I don't think it's a big deal. So, not for, well, for gay
guys,
no. I mean,
so there are some challenges, I guess, if I was a bottom and my top had a micro penis and I wanted to be penetrated, it might be an issue. But, I mean, that's mm-hmm. one of those things that you hopefully figure out pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, there are alternatives.
Yeah, there are alternatives. There's toys and stuff.
There's toys, strap-ons, oral. Yeah, so many things to do.
Okay. But let us know what experiences y'all have had.
Let us know if you have a micropenis.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the title of the show.
Okay.
Let us know.
Maynard has a micropenis.
No, I do not. I have a party size.
Party one. Size?
Yes, party size.
Okay.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
All to entertainment.
Why is this entertainment?
Well, it's a book.
Oh, it's a book. Okay.
Oh, it's a book. Yes.
Entertainment? Okay.
Well, books are part of entertainment.
Well, yeah, but it's a touchy subject.
It's a touchy subject, yes, but I thought it was a good subject, considering that we both kind of like
the Da Vinci Code?
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, God.
So, Jesus married Mary Magdalene, fathered two children, new book claims. Jesus Christ was not crucified, but instead raised a family with Mary Magdalene while surviving multiple assassination attempts, a controversial new book sensationally claims. Professor Barr Wilson and writer Shmika Jovanovic?
Simcha Jakobovici.
alleged in the Lost Gospel to be released Wednesday that Jesus married the prostitute and went on to have two children with her. So... this is a new book that's coming out that claims this. According to the document we uncovered, sometime during this period, he became engaged, got married, had sexual relations, and produced children, the book states. The duo also claims that there was a series of assassination attempts on both the historical figures and their infants' lives, including one when Jesus was 20 years old.
What? But in the Bible, he was 33. Wait, he was 30 when he became, when he started doing the baptism. Baptisms in the river, yeah. In the river, and what river was that? Jordan River or something?
I think so.
I can't remember. But then 3 years later, that's when he got crucified and stuff. So 20 years old.
And they say that Jesus was a well-connected man with links to both powerful political figures in the Roman Empire. Wilson, a professor of religious studies at York University in Toronto, and Israel-Canadian writer and filmmaker, published the book on Wednesday. They said it's based off a translation of an ancient Aramaic manuscript found inside the British Library. So,
this changes everything.
Well, this would change everything if it could be proven. I mean, it's just like the Da Vinci Code. The whole premise of that book was that they produced a child and there's a lineage going back to Jesus Christ, which mm-hmm. would totally throw most of the religions in the world mm-hmm. off kilter.
Yeah. So, to me... Well, I don't know if you're watching your religion, yeah. you know, people have beliefs, okay? To me, this is more plausible. This is a lot more believable for me. That's what I think.
But then if he doesn't die or raise from the dead, how does he become the divine?
I don't know. That's the point.
But that's what the whole Da Vinci Code said.
That's what it is.
So, well, the Da Vinci Code, they said he died, but he had already married Mary Magdalene. And
so he had a child already.
Yeah, she was pregnant when he died. So.
But of course, that's a book of fiction. But this one...
Is it?
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe
but
the Illuminati was putting some stuff out there to start preparing people for this book. How do you know?
Maybe that's the case too. But to me, this is more plausible. I'm sorry, but that's how I think. I mean, this is more... believable in a sense, you know. Are you offended?
No, I'm not offended. No, not. I think it's actually a very interesting take on things. And if it's actually, and you know, if it was actually true, there's somebody with a lineage to actual Jesus Christ walking the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that do? Does that make them the king of all kings?
Or it could be a very rich Jew in New York.
I don't remember Jews.
Hmm?
Then I'd actually be rich Jew in New York. I mean, but literally, that would change the foundation of most religious structures.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole thing was that Jesus died and ascended into heaven, mm-hmm. and he didn't have any progeny, or they'd have been made, because he was considered the king of kings, so they'd have been made royalty.
Well, royalty is really, because it was not like rich royalty. It's more like kingdom of heaven royalty, right?
Yes. But still, the power and influence that somebody like that would sway.
Yes. Which,
it's kind of like the Pope saying, oh, by the way, I'm the descendant of Jesus. And
yeah. So it does say here that, and they say that Jesus was a well-connected man with links to powerful political figures in the Roman Empire, which I think is, like I said, more believable. What can I say?
So.
It's interesting. So it's coming out tomorrow?
I think it comes out on Wednesday, so. But Fox News reported on it, so it's probably all fake.
Oh, Fox News did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
So
why would Fox even cover this? Okay.
But this guy's come under criticism before for doing past hoax with the sort of same thing, and they've been dismissed. So.
Oh, the same writer?
But yeah, one of the writers.
So. Oh, one of the writers. Maybe it's a book of fiction.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean,
I don't know, but you know, it's very interesting. Anne Rice has couple books out that she wrote about the earlier life of Jesus and what she imagined he went through and mm-hmm. growing up as a kid and being a young adult and stuff that were very good that I read that I liked a lot.
And there were no vampires involved?
No vampires involved, no.
Okay.
No Lestat running around, you know, anything like that. It's basically, she imagined what it was like for him being a child, his parents knowing who he was and supposed to become, and then still trying to raise him right. There's also a thing in the book about that he was attracted to another guy.
Oh, really?
Yes, that there were some relations there, or that there was an attraction there, but he wouldn't act on it because this, that, and the other. So he did say
to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. Remember, in the Bible, he did say that.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know what kind of love.
You know, he ran around with John the Baptist, who's a leather dude. So.
John the Baptist is a leather guy?
Yes. He walked around with animal skins on him.
Oh! So that kind of leather. Okay. So. It's not.
Anyway, we're probably going to get some emails about being sacrilegious here.
Oh,
now.
My God.
But
email us show@bearpodcast.com. All right. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay. In honor of today being Veterans Day, our gay is about a 92-year-old World War II vet who fought Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. This is from Upper Arlington, Ohio. Like thousands of other young men in the 1940s, Rupert Starr joined the Army, fought overseas, and saw his share of hardships, including several weeks as a German prisoner of war. He returned to Ohio with a Bronze Star for heroism and a secret. Not until his service as a military man was needed once again, this time as an activist against the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, did Starr, who is gay, slowly step out of the closet. Now at 92, still on the go, Starr, known universally by his family as Twink,
really?
Yeah.
90-year-old named
Twink? Unabashed for his support for fellow gays in the service and the love of his country. They were saying that you could not have the courage or the nerve to be in combat and you weren't qualified to protect your buddy because you would give up. You'd fade or you'd die. You'd cry, said Starr, who was honored last week at a Stonewall Columbus veterans event. Well, that's not true, he said, and I can prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's, okay. So he's saying he's a veteran, 92 years old. When was Don't Ask, Don't Tell? When was that? When did that end?
6 years. It's been since we've been doing the podcast.
Okay, that's right. It's been a long time.
Not that long a time.
Well, yeah.
So.
Oh my God, it's a long time ago. So now he's 92.
Yeah.
All right.
And Starr is a liaison officer with the 422nd Regiment of the 106th Infantry Division. Was shipped overseas in October of 1944, first to England, then to St. Vith, Belgium. He was returning to headquarters from a mission trying to establish regiment's whereabouts in the Battle of the Bulge when he and a sergeant were captured by Germans on December 21st, 1944. Starr survived a series of harrowing travails as a POW, including 8 days in a boxcar jammed far beyond capacity with the other prisoners and forced marches into sub-zero weather before finally arriving in a small German town where his captors fled ahead of the Russians in mid-February of 1945. He arrived home in Boston in April of 1945.
So that's 2 months.
He was a prisoner of war for a little bit there.
Wow, so. That's really scary. Well, do you think things happened back?
I'm assuming that it happened. I mean, there's stories of a lot of people. I've read a couple really good stories about gay soldiers in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
About their love for them, and most of the people in the platoon didn't have a problem with it. So the only thing is, well, a couple of them, one of them died and the other one lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't given rights to see each other or anything like that. But that was back in the 70s. So,
okay.
But anyway, Starr went on to marry Alan become partners with Alan Wingfield. And they were together for 53 years.
Wow.
So.
As a gay couple. Wow. 53 years. That's even longer than the guys from Vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, what's his name? Didn't you watch Vicious before? Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, yeah.
And his partner in the movie. Yeah.
If any of y'all are veterans and have true stories about being gay in the military before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, write in and tell us. Or give us a call and tell us your story in a voicemail.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You can write us. We can have you in the show.
Yeah.
We can do that too. Okay. So
I've heard numerous interesting ones about semen and what happens on ships.
Oh, that kind of semen.
Yes.
You mean Navy.
In the Navy. Yeah.
In the Navy. Those semen. There's so many semen by the seashore. Okay, let's go to the geek. The geek here is of course something that affects us, even this podcast, very much. Okay, here we go. Obama endorses net neutrality. So President Obama came out strongly Monday for the concept of net neutrality, saying that an open internet is essential to the American economy and increasingly to our very way of life. In a written statement, Obama asked the Federal Communications Commission to create a new set of rules protecting net neutrality and to ensure that that phone and cable companies will not be able to act as a gatekeeper, restricting that you can what you can do or see online. So the FCC is nearing a decision. I hope they really decide really well. So net neutrality supporters hailed the president's comments as a victory for internet users and free speech advocates. Critics, including major corporations and Republican lawmakers, called it an overreaction that will lead to lawsuits, worse service, and higher prices. I don't think so. So Tom Wheeler, the Obama-appointed chairman of the FCC, said that, like the president, I believe that the internet must remain an open platform for free expression, innovation, and economic growth. We both oppose internet fast lanes. The internet must not advantage some of the detriment of others to the others. So, what have you heard about the net neutrality?
I don't know. It's been very confusing what they're trying to get across.
I will explain.
Break it down.
I'm gonna break it down as much as I can. This is what I've known for these many years that we've been talking about net neutrality. The ISPs can actually throttle you. They want to have the capability to throttle, to slow down your internet unless you pay a premium. Meaning, without net neutrality, ISPs can actually say that, oh, you want to watch YouTube? Okay, here is the package for YouTube. And then if you're your YouTube videos would be faster. It could also affect, like I said, this podcast. Let's just say we have a competing podcast called Daily Tech News Show that I always watch every week. It's possible that they would pay a premium to someone, I don't know. So their download would be faster than my downloads, than our downloads. It's possible that the videos coming from Netflix, if Netflix could pay more so it could downstream faster to us, but then if they access bearpodcast.com, oh, they're not paying. Bearpodcast.com is not paying anything. We're going to slow down the downloads from them. So that's what the ISPs can do without net neutrality. They can throttle you unless you pay a premium.
So, well, they've already been doing that. AT&T's been slapped on the hands, and they're saying, oh, that's BS.
Oh,
but we all know that AT&T U-verse internet is slower than
Comcast. Or a Time Warner. So I think they already did that. They already did that with Netflix also. So they would slow, unless Netflix would pay millions and millions of dollars just to downstream data to Netflix's customers.
Yeah.
So what would happen also there is, I can serve my own videos. Comcast may say, I want to serve my own videos. I'm going to show all these. I'm going to have these videos available for you. But if you want to watch Netflix, you have to pay a premium. So it would be as fast as ours. You know, they can control those things.
Yeah.
Now, what the WoW is trying to say, or even what net neutrality is saying, is that everybody's equal. Packets should be delivered equally, as fast. Our video, this download of this podcast, should be as fast as YouTube. It should be as fast as Netflix. It should be as fast as any other. So it just promotes more, innovation and stuff like that. They're saying that that's the argument of Ted Cruz. He's saying that net neutrality is the Obamacare of internet. Actually, it's not. It's not about the government controlling everything. It's more like equality to all, freedom and everything. And that's something that Ted Cruz doesn't understand. So, of course, he's been paid by lobbyists.
Oh, yeah.
He's been paid by his supporters.
America just elected a Republican Congress, so we're probably all screwed. But
yeah. Anyway, if I'm wrong, as far as I know, that's pretty much I know that, throttling and everything, because that could happen to us.
Yeah.
Our downloads might be slower if I don't pay more, something like that. So
my AT&T U-verse bill could go from $130 a month to $200 a month, so I can have decent internet speeds.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Porn. You might that could even be affected. What's going to happen now? That could happen oh, you want to watch porn? You can pay this extra premium so you can download, you can watch video from XTube more. They can have an all intro. They can't say porn. There's a basic account.
Yeah.
And there's a
porn
account, all inclusive account, meaning you can download porn. But if you have basic, they could even block. That's the point of this. They can even block everything. They have the power to block the sites that you can do. But then if you pay for a premium, then I can give you access to those sites. That's what ISPs can do without net neutrality. So that it really affects so many people. It needs to be, that's what Obama was saying, it needs to be a utility. Right now, water or electricity, there's no rationing right now. Everybody gets electricity. There's no, you didn't pay much. You only have 8 hours of electricity. Things like that. They don't do that. The power companies don't do that.
Should the same thing with brownouts because they set up these places, set it up so they don't have enough power plants to supply the power that's needed.
Right.
It'd be too expensive to build more.
So anyway, so that's the geek part of the show. Remember Brian was telling me to do what do you call this?
App.
I need to show an app. Actually, okay. One of the things I would recommend is to download Injustice. It's a DC game. Is it a DC game? Yeah, DC game. So it's got
like Justice League.
It's Justice League, but it called it Injustice, and I forgot. Injustice colon something. I forgot the last name. Thing. But then it's a game right now. I play on this Android device. It's like Mortal Kombat, but DC characters. So you got Nightwing, you got the Flash, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, or who else? Harlequin, Solomon Grundy, or Sinestro, Green Lantern. So they're all fighting. Do you use their powers?
One of those people you just named might show up on the Flash tonight.
Oh really? Oh, that's what recording here or a while ago. I'm excited. There's so many things that Flash is becoming very.
You can start watching the Arrow.
Really?
Yes, because they're going to start tying stuff together.
So the Flash.
I think the night's the first episode they combine, or maybe it's the next one. I can't, but I know some they start crossing over for a couple episodes.
So. I need to mention something about TV shows really quick. But yeah, Injustice. Okay, if you're just download it, I think it's good for your tablets. Not necessarily in the phone. So that's one of my recommendations right now, Injustice. About the movies, I posted on Facebook today, Z Nation. Have you been watching Z Nation?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
I'm beginning to hate it.
Why?
It's just, the acting is just so bad, the situations.
It's a cheap zombie show.
I know, it's a lame attempt by sci-fi. But a sci-fi channel to make a zombie movie. Oh, we gotta make a zombie movie, a zombie TV show. So let's make a zombie TV show. I guess it's popular. It's just that the acting the plots are just so horrible. That's what I
thought. This week's episode was good. Did you watch it?
Which one? The one with the guy and the girl?
Yeah.
I hated it because it kept repeating. And it's a filler episode. They just wanted to do something.
Well, no, she'd been having these issues all along, and they finally brought to head what her issue was.
Yeah, it was her all along. Yeah. Things like that. So,
and that's the whole thing, that she kept dreaming this.
I know, but it doesn't move the plot any further.
Look, everything can't be Walking Dead. Well, Walking Dead almost got cut Sunday because of some of the stuff they were showing. The censors almost pulled it. So,
but it was hot though with Abraham, you know, having sex with, you know, I gotta get some ass. I think we said before, you know, Abraham is kind of a
true. But I have a couple women at work that watch it with their younger children, not babies or young children, but like preteens, and they were like,
you so covering the eyes.
Close your ears up. Close your eyes. You know,
close your ears. You might hear. Okay. Anyway, okay.
Okay. So all right, on to the bazaar. Now we go from having a micro penis to how to deal with penis princesses.
Okay.
We've all been with those guys, the ones who are all geared up to go at the first moment of contact, but once you hit the bedroom and things heat up, their equipment starts to get fussy. All of a sudden, you go from hot and heavy to just heavy. You have no idea why it's happening, and it's not always the easiest thing to address. We know how sensitive men are about their privates. So, I kind of had this issue.
Okay.
I'm a penis princess, I guess. So.
In what way? What kind of issues?
Well.
Oh, okay.
When you have sex with a penis princess, it feels like his penis is running the show. The penis likes this. The penis dislikes this. The penis likes this too much. So you better be moving it. Stop moving immediately. This only makes you want to scream out. Well, the vagina gives up. And this is from a woman's point of view. So.
All right.
But I thought this was pretty interesting. This goes with gay guys too. So, penis princess number one, performance anxiety guy. This penis is eager to please. He really wants to be the penis he initially was during the heavy petting stage of your initial hookup. But once the spotlight sits and the clothes have off, he gets the case of stage right and freezes up. I do that a lot. I used to do that a lot.
I know how that feels.
Especially when, like, that's why I don't like hooking up that much, because I got to get to know somebody before I can just have sex with them. I mean, there aren't those times when I did, but just, so.
Back then.
Back then. Penis princess number two, the foreplay flounderer. This penis is all about intercourse. He can keep it locked and loaded for the main event, no problem. But the minute the focus turns off him and onto you, he loses it. So it's all about his penis.
Ah, okay.
That's most gay guys, though.
Most gay guys are like that.
Mm-hmm. Penis princess number three, the latex
hair. Oh, no, the bare
back. Whether it's due to lack of sensitivity or a general dislike of condoms, he's suddenly selling the minute you hand him one. Well, guess what? Unsex safe is not an option. So.
Unless you've both been tested. Yeah.
Well, that's everybody's personal thing. I see everybody now on Craigslist, I guess, is taking PrEP.
PrEP is becoming very popular now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a bunch of people talk about, I go to these parties and nobody's using condoms because all the guys are on PrEP.
Yeah. I've heard of a friend of a friend who's into that. A couple of friends. Mm-hmm. And they're into PrEP. And we're talking about being plowed by 12 guys.
Some guys love that.
And he's keeping score, and then he's okay. It's not like, it feels like doing PrEP is like I don't know how to describe it. It's like a license to kill. I don't know, not a license to kill, but you know.
Yeah.
It feels that way that, just because I'm in PrEP, you know, I can do anything.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Penis princess number four, the position picky guy. We've all met this penis at some point in our lives. He's only happy thrusting in turbo mode, offering on top or from behind. If he doesn't get to have things his way, he becomes fussy and will stop what he's doing to sulk. Okay. Penis princess number five, the minute
man. The minute man.
He's the most excited, the most enthusiastic, and the most sensitive. Imagine this. You show up after a buffet, starving, and all the food looks so incredible, but you can't wait to try everything in sight. And then you get full after the first baby kiss and leave feeling dissatisfied.
Just when you're putting the condom on and then he comes?
Yeah. So that was the five different penis princesses. So I thought it was kind of interesting. But it was written for other females. So.
Okay.
But it applies to gays too, I think.
It applies to a lot of gay guys too. So. Wow, we're about 48, 5, almost 50 minutes, I think. Math is hard. But we're running on it.
We might get throttled back.
We might get throttled. Anyway, what are we planning this weekend?
Well, we have a couple guys that are coming into town to visit because they're going on this little bear cruise that leaves from Galveston this weekend, which is why I got my bear powered on.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bear butt pirates that are coming into town.
Yeah, so this coming weekend, our friends Devin and Jay are going to be in town. And also Phil from Ohio. And we're looking forward to see them and meet them because they haven't been to Houston before. Yeah. Well, except for Phil. He's been here. I was with Phil before. So.
Oh, you were?
Well, I was not kind of with
princess,
Phil.
What kind of penis princess is Phil?
I wouldn't know. How would I know that? Anyway, so yeah, we'll meet up with them and then hang out and then go to Neon Boots because that's where it's going to be 600, possibly 600 bears are going to be there at Neon Boots.
Right.
Well, there are about 600, I think, who are going to the Chumley Cruise. It's a Chumley Cruise, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's a Chumley Cruise Please correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But yeah, there's a cruise coming from Houston.
Well, the boat's bearers. Oh,
with the bearers. And it's going to be...
If that boat's rocking.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's going to be a boat full of bears. And they're all going to be at Neon Boots this coming weekend. So I'm looking forward to
that. They're all going to be there. But there's a big party, many of them. There's a big pre-party thing for them Saturday night at Neon Boots. So.
600? I don't think it's going to hold them. 600. That's too much. I don't think so. It's going to be a long line. Okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to leave a voicemail, your opinion, or a comment on an article we've talked about on the show, then leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes. Give a voice message and we will play it in the show. And subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And you can also listen to the show at Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
We went and there was like a bunch of geeks there. There's like these guys dressed up as NASA space pilots and they're little geeky.
Oh, really?
Hilarious. There was a bunch of bears there too. I was like, man, it's missing out.
Oh, no, there were a couple of bears with me. So.
And then Jose.
Wait, Quentin from Australia? He's a big guy.
I think so. He's a big guy, but I don't think he's from Australia.
There's one Quentin I know. Is that a Killer Bob shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Interstellar,
Man with a Micropenis,
Obama Net Neutrality,
and Penis Princesses.
All this shit. It's like all this and stay tuned.